The following is a featured essay by a guest author, published on The Kim Monson Show. The opinions expressed are those of the author and do not necessarily reflect the views of The Kim Monson Show. With the NBA playoffs in full swing, it is easy at times to watch the professionals shoot the basketball with an accuracy that would leave most folks kicking the ball out of frustration for missing the same shot time and time again. We do not even question, however, how these basketball players got so good. Sure, they were blessed with physical attributes, but it took ceaseless repetition of dribbling and shooting, day after day after day, in order to make it to the best league in the world. The thousands of uncontested shots meant their body knew how to react when pressure hits, and does so without hesitation. Yet when it comes to ideas, especially moral and civic ones, repetition is treated as dull, unnecessary, or even irritating. Hamilton took the opposite approach when he was consolidating his newspaper articles into the Federalist Papers. Knowing full well that many ideas were repeated frequently, he acknowledged that the repetition of ideas was left on purpose, even while knowing the reader might be displeased. He did so because the ideas were significant enough to require the recurrence. Repetition turns ideas into conviction, builds personal virtue, and allows truth to become an instinct. Why founders made the same arguments twice? The Federalist Papers repeat important ideas because they understand human nature and the psychology of the individual. Our society relies on active citizens, so these principles must go beyond merely being heard and instead must be internalized. These ideas were reinforced so that we could not only understand what we have governing us, but also why. Interestingly, this concept is not foreign to modern cognitive psychology. It is often cited in marketing research that multiple exposures from 7 to 20 times are needed to enhance memory retention and strengthen neural pathways, helping ideas to stick and actually start influencing our ideas. We have to get ideas past being familiar with them and into the realm of understanding, and then into convictions. If repetition works to sell products, then it certainly works on how we shape beliefs. Virtues only count when they are lived. Beyond just the civic education and principles, Hamilton also understood that ideas are only one aspect of building a country and that personal virtue was necessary as well. It is not enough to know how the government would function, because it is people that actually make the decisions and are given power. It is easy to understand what would happen to a government if immoral or corrupt individuals were handed the power of the government, but what would happen if apathetic citizens stood there while it happened? Virtues are not just ideas, they require action. So merely hearing ideas does nothing until the ideas are repeated often enough that they are lived out. They knew we would have to condition virtuous living by reinforcing it often enough through reading about them, discussing it with one another, and holding each other accountable. Our republic only works when we practice the core civic virtues, and what we repeat shapes what we default to under pressure. Recognition is not mastery. Even knowing all of this, it is still easy to default to a false confidence of, "I already know that." Recognition is important in our civic discourse, but that recognition is not the mastery needed in order for truths to become instinct. Without constant repetition, the principles stay shallow and are easily overridden by emotions. Outside influences and voices are able to easily sway us with convincing yet specious arguments, and it works because of the gap between recognition and mastery. It is easy to agree with others, which is why vague principles are often exposed by the media and convincing talking heads. Real mastery shows up under pressure, which is why it is important to reinforce the truth often. If the truth and principles handed down to us are not reinforced, then they will be replaced, and most people will not even be able to notice when that substitution happens until it is much too late. Train your mind the way an athlete trains a body. None of the greatest athletes complained about the repetitions they had to endure when the game was on the line. And in that moment, they did not have to think through the mechanics or the why. They merely let their body instinctually take over and do what it is trained to do. We have to develop that same instinct intellectually. Hamilton understood that the important ideas had to be impressed upon the readers, not merely introduced. The writers of the Federalist Papers understood that liberty must be thought of all day and every day, and that its ideals must be discussed copiously. When these truths and principles are deliberately reinforced, it prevents bad ideas from seeping into our cultural lexicon and actions. We are able to flex our reflexive thoughts and restraints against the ideas that would tear down our institutions and society. A free society depends on citizens who do not have to rediscover the truth every time they are tested. Carefully choose what you repeat and recall those ideas that are worth remembering, because training your mind is just as important as training your body. Liberty must be and feel second nature to us as citizens. This has been a featured essay by a guest author, published on The Kim Monson Show. For more from this author, visit kimmonson.com.